two of my friends here from 8 Days of Hope, Curtis and Belinda Connerly. Will you stand up? These folks are incredible. They helped the city of Batavia and Buffalo and all over the country. Come on, give them a big city church welcome today. We love you. Thank God for you. Thank you for being here today. You're a blessing. They've done so much for our city and big things in Buffalo this year, and they go all over the country, and we thank God for you. Glad, we're honored that you're here. We really are. It is my hope and my desire today to encourage you, to inspire you, to see God's best in your life. I want to just stay on this thought, summer in the city, for the rest of this month, as we just enjoy an incredible summer together. The weather right now is just amazing today, and you come in this morning, and we have to deal with sugar and caffeine. Come on today for Bruce and Peggy. Come on. I just love it. Really beautiful. You know what? I'm going to pray in just a moment. But I felt so compelled this morning during worship. All the songs that were sung, I don't talk to anybody else about what I'm going to speak about beforehand. Aaron will get my notes for a PowerPoint, usually Saturday at some point, because I want the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. And this subject just struck me, this phrase, when you have had enough. And I don't know if anybody is here today and you've ever been to that place. You just say, I've had enough. You're battling maybe anxiety. You feel heavy in spirit. Maybe you're worried about something. Maybe it's a health issue for you. Maybe it's a financial season in your life where whatever you do, you just can't seem to get through it. Maybe it's something about a loved one in your family, aging parents, your children that are making negative decisions. And by the way, I'm so grateful to have all three of my sons in church today. They've been all over the world, and they're here today. Boys, just stand up so everybody knows you're my offspring. Would you do that? Come on, stand up. Garrett, Benjamin, Ryan, I love them, boys. Thank you. This message is for those that you may be worried today. You're dealing with some anxiety, some fear. And I believe God's going to calm that today. I really do. I want to tell you something. And as I'm standing here in worship today, and I go through these, it's like a battle with the Lord. He says, I want to deal with this. I said, okay, deal with it. He said, I want you to point it out. I said, I don't want to. He said, I don't care what you want. I want you to point it out. And I really sensed this morning as we were in worship that somebody, you came in, you're at this point. You've had enough. In fact, I felt in my heart the Lord say, tell somebody I'm mindful of them. You've been to the place where you've considered taking your life. I want you to know you don't have to do that. I want you to know that God is more than enough for you. I want you to know that this morning I believe that through his Holy Spirit, he's going to get into that dark recess that maybe you've held everything and everybody else from. And he's going to bring some light and life into it. Your life is not over. Your mistake has not been too bad. This person who has hurt you, it's not over. And here Paul, and I spoke out of Philippians chapter 3 last week, and today I'm going to share a verse from Philippians 4. He's in prison, and you'd think that he would be going through anxiety himself. You'd think he would be really more concerned about his future than anybody. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he pens these words in Philippians 4:4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He said, let your greatness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Say that phrase with me. Say, the Lord is near. Come on, say it. Say it again. Say, the Lord is near. He goes on in verse 6, don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, It'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today that your presence will be evident to all. God, we cast our cares on you. We sense even now your love, your goodness, because you care for us. And I pray peace from heaven. It'll guard every heart, soul, and mind. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. I don't know if you have ever felt this, that you have ever felt like just the walls of life were closing in. And Paul says to be anxious for nothing. And in the season of life in our culture that we're living in, can it even be possible? Mass shootings followed by more senseless shooting, followed by even the news this week of somebody running through a city in California with a knife, senselessly just going into places and killing people. And yet Paul, he says, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be weighted down. And maybe you could say your own story. Maybe you could talk about it yourself today about what you're going through that maybe has led you at moments in your life to seasons where you feel like the walls, like it's dark around you. And there's an Old Testament prophet that really loved God, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, yet struggled with anxiety in his own life. He saw the faithfulness and the power of God, but in the same moment of his life, he felt this darkness closing in. The Bible says that Elijah was called by God to confront an evil king by the name of Ahab. He called him out. He prophesied. He spoke the words out of his mouth that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And the Bible says it did not. And the Bible says that the king brought all of his resources against Elijah, tried to kill him, brought his army against him, said that they were going to destroy Elijah. And for 3 years, Elijah was away from this king, and he was hiding from being destroyed by him, yet he was faithful to God in the middle of it. You know, you can go through some things in your life, and you can still remain faithful to God. And the Bible says that even in this time that God fed him with bread and had ravens bring meat from heaven, and the Bible says that Elijah even raised the dead during this time. And he goes through all this, and he comes to this mountain, and he calls on the people that were following a god of Baal, and then that were following one of, the Bible calls, Asherah, which is one of the most evil and demonic definitions of a god that they would follow. 400 from Baal, and or 450 from Baal, 400 from Asherah. And he calls them, and he says, Let's see if your God is who he says. And you call down fire from heaven. You put a sacrifice. And so they did. And they're calling on God. And Elijah's there taunting them. Maybe he can't hear you. Scream louder. So they were screaming. Nothing happened. And Elijah, he says, build an altar. Put a sacrifice on it. Then dig a trench around the sacrifice. Fill it with one pot, two pots, three pots of water. Make it look like it's so impossible to happen that if God doesn't do it, everybody will know that he's not real. The Bible says they did all this, and Elijah called fire from heaven. The Bible says it came down, it consumed the sacrifice. And the Bible even says, I like how the King James says, that it licked up the water around it. I just love that, how Elijah put the prophets of Baal on notice. And then the Bible says that he took them all down and they slayed them all. But something happens in the middle of the greatest victory that Elijah could ever experience. We think that sometimes that in these moments of great victories that people, boy, they're going to ride high on this for a while and nothing could change. But the Bible says in 1 Kings in that chapter 19 and verse 2 that Ahab tells Jezebel, and she threatens Elijah. And this is what she says. She says, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And anytime you ever hear somebody refer to somebody in a negative connotation, say something like, well, boy, they're a Jezebel or she's a Jezebel. There's no real gender bias here. The spirit of Jezebel is real. And when that struck on Elijah, something transpired in his life. She intimidated him, she threatens him, and she demoralizes him. And out of all this that had already happened to Elijah, after Ahab had set his army against him, nothing stopped him like Jezebel stopped him that day. And in the middle of that, Elijah falls apart. He spirals into a deep depression, and anxiety takes him to a place that he can't even imagine. And I just feel like today that I'm speaking this to somebody right now, that you have experienced this. Maybe you're in the middle of it right now. Maybe you came today. Maybe somebody encouraged you to come. You didn't want to come. You just came. Can I tell you, if that's you, you came to the right place at the right time, at the right moment, because he's going to lift you up today. He's going to help you. Amen. And when we look at the story about Elijah, we notice four different, just some moves he makes that maybe we can relate to, and maybe you'll see yourself in one of them, or maybe in two of them, or maybe in all the decisions. The first thing that Elijah does when he's under this depression, these are things that I'm just reiterating this so you can identify and say, yeah, that's, I do that. And I've done most of these. The first thing he does, he runs away. In 1 Kings 19:3, the Bible says Elijah was afraid and he ran. He didn't run. He ran for his life. I'm talking about a man who had performed miracle after miracle. God had empowered him to raise a dead child from the dead. And a woman threatens him, and now he's running for his life. He was afraid. He's experiencing this deep anxiety. The Bible says in verse 3, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant. Verse 4, and while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed, I want to die. He's by himself. He's in the wilderness. He's irrational. And he says the same thing that you and I have said, maybe. I've had enough. I can't take any more. God, just kill me and get it over with. I've talked to more than one people in my life, in this year, that have told me these very words. I'm through. I just want God to kill me. And you may be here right now. Maybe you're at a place you just can't take anymore. You've done all you can do. You're tired of you paying bills, and you just can't seem to get out of that cycle, and you're doing this and it breaks, and for some of you it's a relationship that you've tried and tried and tried, and only to find out that you've been deceived again. You can't take it anymore. Maybe it's your schedule. You work and you work and you work, and you're juggling everything. Maybe you're a single parent and you're thinking, will this ever end? And I just can't take anymore, which leads us, and it led Elijah to the second place that he said, the Bible says that he shuts people out. He leaves his servant, not just anybody, he leaves a trusted friend. He said, I don't need you anymore. He's in a serious place right here. And he goes off, and he doesn't want to tell anybody. He doesn't want anybody in his life. He thinks he can do it on his own. Really, at this point, he doesn't care anymore. And the reality is, my brothers and sisters, that we need others in our lives at moments like this. You don't have the luxury. You know, 25 years ago, we wouldn't have said what I'm going to say now. But now, you know what people do? They turn their cell phones off and they say, well, it just doesn't work. Or, you know, we are so, I don't know what the word I want to say is, cagey, and just shutting people out of our lives. the people that God wants us to have in our lives that can help us and look us in the eye and say, hey, you can do this. God says in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for you to be alone. Not just a male, a female too. You're no good out on your own. Now, I'm talking to some people, you're independent by nature. Okay, but this is a different dimension here when you shut people out. Say, I don't want anybody in my life. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm disconnected. And I'm not talking about cutting off toxic people out of your life or just wanting a little alone time. I'm talking about shutting people out of your life because it leads then to indulgence in unhealthy things, choosing the wrong company, which leads us to what Elijah's next experience was, to just completely focus on the negative. Everybody's against me. I don't have any friends. Elijah said, I've had enough. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than my ancestors. We don't know what he was talking about there. Thought that way. I've come to that place. No better than my dad, what my grandfather was. We focus on the negative. My life is hard. I'll never get it all done. There's too much. I can't stand the people. I don't like my job. I don't like where I'm going. I'm always going to struggle. I'm going to be broke. I'm never going to be happy. And it's on and on and on. And we focus on the negative. And psychologists, they refer to this as negativity bias, which they say that we naturally have this propensity to lean more to the negative than we do the positive. And you can have one negative experience and 10 good experiences, and at the end of the day, we still have the natural propensity to gravitate. Yeah, but that was all good. Yeah, but look at what this is. And for this reason, a moment of profound sadness will be more disruptive than a day full of happiness, naturally. And psychologists say you got to continually look for, and this is good, look for the good. Savor the experience. Allow good experience. Let it sink into you. That's good. But the Bible says in Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The Bible says in Psalm 86:5, for you, O Lord, you are good. You're ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon him. Do you know the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, say amen to that. Psalm 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 135, 3 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. And I was sharing, I don't know if I did it in a Sunday morning service years ago, there was a man that we used to listen to on the radio, his name was Don Gossett. He used to say, when you go through something, just learn to say praise the Lord 10 times. I remember the first time I heard that. I thought that was the wackiest, looniest thing going. But I remember, you know, when you get dark enough and things get deep enough and you get discouraged enough, you're going to try whatever you can. And I remember, I didn't know where we were. We were driving down College Road, and I said to my wife, I said, let's just do it. Let's just say praise the Lord 10 times. So we started saying it, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we got to that ninth and that tenth time, and all of a sudden, our despair went to joy. Our disruptiveness went to put togetherness. Our hurt and our pain went to joy and peace because we learned to praise the Lord. And when you discipline your lives to praise the Lord, you push the attack of the enemy out of your space, and you know that God is for you, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. and the song that we were singing this morning. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. Some of you, you are convinced that you don't have to sing, you don't have to worship, you don't have to praise. But can I tell you something? If you're going to get out of that darkness, out of that anxiety, out of that depression, out of that discouragement, you're going to have to lift a praise higher than what the enemy can speak evil into your life. Oh, I feel God up in here right now. Come on, you need to praise Him right now like you're coming out of it. Come on, some of you need to shout unto God this morning. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. I'm not going to let no rock praise the Lord in my praise. I'm going to worship Him and praise Him until the moment that I die. I was so excited. Chuck Wood, he was in the first service. He's 82, 85, I don't know, 105. I don't know how. He's old. He spoke on Thursday night. What a soldier of the Lord. He's up here with a smile on his face. You know, sometimes we get older and we think it's an excuse to be miserable. I'm 63, so I can talk like this now. I will not let darkness and miserable and negativity have a portion or a place in my life. I will praise the Lord all the days of my life. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, I think City Church at 10 o'clock this morning ought to praise the Lord right now like you really mean it. Then sometimes in the middle of this, Elijah, and we do too, and I'm going to close on this, Debbie, come on up. We forget that God is in the middle of it. Every step of our lives, God is there with us. In fact, the name Elijah means that God is my breath. He's my source. He's my strength. He's my sustainer. He's with me. And what did God do in the middle of all that? He revealed Himself to us. The scripture says this. In verse 11, go out. This is what God is saying to him. He says, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Man, if I heard that, I'd say, okay, come on. It's going to like be like a locomotive. It's going to come in power and might shake the earth. I'm so sick of people going around saying, we need a shaking. Is that what the Bible says? Listen to this. He said, the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Man, that goes against some people. We need a fire. We need a shaking. We need the wind to blow. You know what it says then? After the fire, a gentle whisper. The Lord was in the whisper because the Lord was near. God was not in the remarkable. He was in the ordinary. Listen, and I said it from Philippians 4. I said, say that with me. The Lord is near. He whispers because He is close to you and I. In the moment of your darkness and your anxiety and you're feeling alone and despair and discouraged and depressed, when the enemy is shouting at you, telling you all these things, God is speaking. He's near to you. He's close to you. He's never left you nor forsaken you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is with you today. And many of the things that you're worrying about and the enemy is shouting into your mind, they're not even going to take place because the Lord is near. He's a shield around you. Praise God. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me this morning. Maybe you're feeling a burden, a weight. Maybe you're feeling crushed and overwhelmed, anxious, worried. Maybe something's weighing on you. And You just want to take it to God right now today. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor Marty, pray for me. Come on, just put your hand up. This is a moment in this house today. You sense the power and the spirit of the living God all over the house today. Hands all over the place. Stand up where you are. Those that raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to move. I want you to just stand up where you are. It's an act of faith. Watch God lift you out of that today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power of your presence. Woo! Come on, everybody, just say, presence, God. It's your presence. It's your whisper. Thank you for your power. I pray that in this moment, God, is your people actively obeyed and responded to the Spirit of God today. That you would touch their lives right now. They would know the whisper, know that you care, that you're involved, and that you're active in their lives. Even when we don't see it, we thank you for your presence, that you care for us, that you love us, and that you're working all things out together for good to them that loved you and are called according to your purpose. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want the prayer folk to come on down to the altar. Just keep your eyes closed. I don't want ushers, I don't want no moving around right now. You don't have to do a thing. This is a very integral moment in God's house. Thank you, Lord. You've never given your heart to Christ, do it right now. Just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come and live in my life. Be the Lord and Master of my life. I want to speak over somebody's life today. You're coming out of it. Hear not the word of Pastor Marty. Hear the word of the Lord today. You're coming out of it. 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 The Lord is near. You're coming out of it. No more. The hand of the enemy is broken off of your life today. In the name of Jesus. Broken off of your family today. In Jesus' name. I thank you for your love and your grace and your power on every life here today. Oh, I love you, Lord. We worship you. Everybody, if you would, if you're able, would you just stand with me as I close in prayer? Just your eyes closed, standing in the presence of God, in the house of God today, together. Praise your name. If you need prayer, your eyes are closed, heads are still bowed, just 45 more seconds together. If you need prayer, come to the altar right now. Sometimes when you have somebody to agree with, maybe you're that person, you've shut everybody out. This is an exercise you need to do to break that chain, to break that hold off your life. You come down, just say, you don't have to tell anybody anything. This isn't a counseling session. This is a moment for prayer. Spirit of the living God, just fall fresh upon your people today. I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you. You need prayer? Come. Then after you pray and when you're leaving, love on people on the way out. Hug somebody, bless them, and then get some more caffeine and sugar before you hit the sidewalk. Go in His grace today. Come, you need prayer. Come. This is your moment. This is your day. You come.